The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Alrighty, we have everything going, do not disturb, which means it's time to spread joy and cheer for all to hear, or something like that, because welcome back to Unhinged with Chris Clemons. It is I, Chris Clemons, and what a joy it is to be I. Chris Clemons. I am going to just totally be real with the American people. If I didn't have to record an episode today, I wouldn't. I, as a lot of you know, and I think I've said on the show, I've cut Lexapro cold turkey. And like the 2 weeks post that, maybe three, even a month, maybe even a month, I was having euphoria, bitch. I mean, consider me on HBO because I was euphoric. And then I've lately just been declining, not declining, just like, I don't know. I feel like leveling out. Like, I feel like I was definitely on the high end of happiness and freedom and woo, life is worth living. And I'm just now a lot more in like reality and just like remembering that life is just so what? Long and also hard, which, okay, I heard that one. I heard that one, you guys. So yeah, I might be a little pessimistic today, but you know what? Pessimism is the antidote to this sentence. Thank you. I don't know what that one was, but that is your own little fortune cookie for free. You don't even have to order a meal. I'm saying all of this because I just feel like I might have a little bit of a pessimistic outlook until we get into it. And I don't know, once I start recording, things tend to loosen up. But I don't want you guys to be like, oh God, Chris sounds awful. It's like, yeah, no, I definitely do. And I am also in on it. Now, before we carry on, I want to remind y'all to subscribe to Unhinged with Chris Clemons. If you haven't, there's video episodes up on youtube.com/@unhinged. And we also do an after show on patreon.com/Chris Clemons. However, we will not be doing one today. However, you can go and watch all the past ones if you haven't. I love doing the after shows. I mean, not only because I get to breathe in and exhale. but it's just also, it feels like much more of a hangout. This feels more like showbiz, baby. But like, that feels really chill and calm. Like I'm on FaceTime with the girls. So yeah, we're not doing one today, but like I said, also very exciting. I'm still unsure if we're going to be doing an episode of Unhinged during this, but New York City, April 21st, I am going to be performing at the Bell House and we are going to be filming it because I'm recording my first stand-up special. I figured if I don't have a Netflix deal or an HBO Max deal, which guys, I'm open to. Hit a girl's line. I have an audience and I want to just put a show out on YouTube. I've been working on it for like the last year plus and then been doing stand-up just for longer. And I want to just get this set out. And so I thought, what a fun way to show people a different side of me who aren't able to come to the shows or things like that. So we are doing a show. Tickets are down below. April 21st. I cannot wait. This is gonna be lit. You guys don't want to miss out on Herstory, okay? It's my first ever special. Like, we're getting it done right, not just like a tripod. Like, there's gonna be people holding cameras or something. I mean, there's at least gonna be one person holding a camera. I need to still figure it out, but it's happening and it's real and it's set on the calendar. So mark your, I don't know, but I will say that last New York show, my only New York show, I love all y'all so much. I want you to know that. If y'all think that is the time and place to have a conversation with me, you are fucking wrong. You are so incorrect. If you are spoken to, speak. If not, shut the fuck up and laugh. There were like a group of very excited people. Like, that's the thing, is I see the excitement. I see the giddiness. And like, I understand like the parasocial dynamic that you feel like you're seeing your friend up on stage. And you want to, yeah. Like, please don't. Just please don't. If I like interact with you, then, you know, really give it to me. But it was definitely, that was the worst show in terms of like hecklers and like, really rambunctious audience members. Look at me pulling out adjectives to not, I don't even know, but I'm excited for the show. I really am. Even if there are hecklers, bitch, I'll put you in your place this time. I'll roast you full on. Okay, now other than like my mental roller coaster ride, I've been spending a lot more time in New York City, which is really so exciting. I live in Brooklyn and I've never lived in Brooklyn before. And so I relate to the song Brooklyn Baby now. So I'm a Brooklyn baby. I just really am so happy that I have a space in New York and can spend time up there. I'm not going to lie, having a studio with two dogs is definitely one crazy addition that my mental health did not need, but we're figuring it out slowly but surely. And yeah, it's a trip, girl. It's a motherfucking trip and a half, but it's really fun just to be out. I've met so many of you guys walking in the streets. If you're watching, don't comment on the fact that I'm picking a zit on my elbow. Shut up and keep moving. Everyone's like, Chris, no one would have drawn attention to it if you just didn't. But here's the thing. I will always be ahead of the rumor. That's the thing. I will get ahead. Like, I'm too upfront where I'm like, I'd rather say it first than let you get your moment taking me down. I need to get therapy again. Yeah, I didn't have health insurance, have it now. Just forgot to call my therapist back. It's in motion, girls. Anyways, let's just fucking move on. Now, it's my favorite part of the episode where I get to hear from citizens of Unhinged Proper. And I want you guys to send an email about your craziest spring break story. Now, you can email it to unhingedwithchrisclemons@gmail.com. I just realized that it's like perfect spring break time for school. And I don't even know if that many of y'all are in school still, but I think a lot of you might have crazy spring break stories even in the past. So I want to hear them. I remember my last experience with spring break was March 2020, being in, I think, Newark Airport or JFK Airport. I think it was Newark Airport. And it was literally like the pandemic was starting. Like, COVID was like in America, baby. And I was like, oh my God, this is terrifying. What the fuck is going on? And I remember everybody was in the airport going to spring break, like leaving the city or the tri-state area and going on spring break. And they were all just like not wearing masks. And I was like, this is terrifying. Get away from me. I didn't think masks were a thing, but I just didn't want to be near people. I was like, get the 6 feet, bitch. I think that might have been before they were saying 6 feet. So I felt really, look, as a trendsetter now. Now, you guys must work at Domino's because y'all have been delivering with these emails. Now, in the last episode, I know that the prompt was to email in about what you would spend your lottery winnings on if you won the lottery. I, however, was going through the email thing, and I feel like there are too many emails that have not been plucked yet. Now, we've done a bunch of them on the after show on Patreon because these just emails are crazy. But I figured, like, let's catch up on some of the emails that we haven't looked at from past prompts. Now, the first email I have is subject lined Hometown Jezebel Drama, which I don't know what that isn't. Jezebel like one of those like celebrity gossip sites or was? So anyways, I went into it with that insight. Oh boy. Okay, I'm hearing it all in live time. Okay, now the email says, I live in a small southern town and the biggest names around here are in the county school system. For about 40 years now, the same family has been running the school system. The grandfather of the family has been the superintendent since Jesus walked, and his son was my middle school and high school principal. The son, I'll call him Steve, is married with four daughters and his wife, Tanya. Their oldest daughter went to school with me. We graduated together. The grandpa superintendent, Dave, and grandma, who's also a teacher, also named Tanya, we'll call her Tanya G for grandma. Thanks, guys, for doing the work for me. Okay, so the grandfather mentioned earlier, his name is Dave. He's the superintendent. And grandma, who's also a teacher, is also named Tanya G. They have been big names my whole life. It wasn't until 4 years ago that Steve had an affair with the wives of one of the PE coaches, who was another teacher, and broke up both of their families. The way that these two people wrecked more homes than Hurricane Katrina. Goddamn. The woman he was with had a husband and two little girls. I was a TA 2 years ago and actually taught one of the girls. It's crazy. So Steve is still the local high school's principal, and he makes it a point to parade his Jezebel around the football games, the town events, county affairs, etc. So much so that the two of them got married a year ago, and now the woman, I'll call her Martha, is pregnant with their adultery baby. None of Steve's original daughters want anything to do with him, but Martha's daughters are always with the two of them, apparently. I actually work with Steve's second oldest original daughter. She's a teen mom working two jobs, and her mom is kind of all over the place. Oh my God, I need to... What does Jezebel mean? Oh, a shameless or immoral woman. Okay, well, I don't think that... I mean, they both were parading around with their Jezebels. Like... That they're both motherfucking Jezebels, just jizzing. They're Jezebels. They're just everywhere. Wow, that is really crazy. I kind of like wish we had like a dynasty like that. No, I guess we do. In Delaware, there's a family called the DuPonts, and they are like, there's like a billion of them, and they, I feel like, own pretty much everything. It's really insane. But wow, that is nuts and so messy. Like, that's the thing, is like, if you're gonna be, it's like when women go on to Housewives and they are like defrauding people, I'm like, why would you make yourself like, okay, if you're gonna be a big figure in the community or public, have a cleaner track record. Or if you're gonna have a dirty track record, lay low, bitch. Like, lay low and stitch. I just don't get it. If you're gonna be running the school system, maybe, hey, don't be having a fucking affair. Like, what is going on? And then the shameless walkabout town is, like, so cringy to me. If we're just going to keep it 100 here. Did you hear me take a sip of my puppy? Now, email two, the subject line read, anxious farting. And I don't think I need to describe why that one caught my eye, as I'm pretty sure I read it while anxiously farting. So the email reads, I've been seeing a guy for about 6 months now, been in a relationship with him for about three, and I find it so uncomfortable to fart around him. The worst of it is at night, ever since we got together, I've had the worst sleeps of my life because I am so anxious all night, I'm going to fart my sleep. And when I do, I actually wake myself up from it. Oh my God, you wake yourself up from farting? Girl, I mean, what are you, a Dua Lipa song? Are you levitating? The fuck you mean you're waking yourself up from farting? Is that common? Am I waking myself up from farting? Do I need to go get a sleep study? Why are we whispering? I don't know. Anyway, she continues, and you can imagine how much I need to fart in my sleep after holding it in all day. Part of the reason I am so anxious is because every time I do fart in my sleep, he brings it up. You tooted a lot in your sleep last night. It was so cute. Okay, first of all, huh? Second of all, what? Third of all, bitch, are you a Geico caveman? What?
You fart in your sleep, it's so cute.
Like, what? What is that? End quote, Cardi B. Anyways, back to the email. Granted, he's not saying it's disgusting, but I'd rather my bodily functions just be ignored, please. What do I do? From someone who has never found farts particularly humorous or disgusting, but also something that you just don't address out of kindness to others. For reference, he has this thing when he farts, he just says, I heard a frog, which is something he learned from a work buddy. Okay, honestly, that's kind of funny. I heard a frog. I think what you do, in terms of advice, I think you just accept the fact that he's not grossed out by it. So you just sort of let it go, or you tell him, please stop commenting on my farts. Otherwise, I think you have to get out of the relationship. But also, you need to think about that you are going to fart for the rest of your life. So maybe just like use him as the conduit into public farting or audible farting or just farting, I guess, in this example, because you are holding it in. Also, are you guys spending literally every minute together? Why don't you bulk fart? You know, Why don't you bulk fart? I'm going to leave that there. That feels like a nice complete thought. Why don't you bulk fart? That's insane. All right, the final email. The subject line said, small town drama, Southeast Asia edition. Hook, line, sinker. Now the email says, okay, let me tell you about this small town drama. Picture a charming little town on a beautiful island in Southeast Asia. I won't spill the beans on the exact country because it'll be so obvious to everyone here, LOL. Before I get into it, let me give you some context. This town is like a mini Bali. A lot of foreigners come here to enjoy the island life. So here's the scoop. There was this girl who had an Australian boyfriend. He was working hard and splitting his time between Australia and the island. He saved up and bought a piece of land to make a cozy little home for them. It wasn't a mansion or anything, but comfortable. Oh my God. He bought land for the two. You better fuck the shit out of him. Oh my God. Anyways. It wasn't a mansion or anything, but it was comfortable. But then the pandemic hit and her boyfriend got stuck in Australia. Here's where the things get interesting. Enter an out-of-this-world wealthy guy from one of the country's richest families. I mean, we're talking top 10 richest families here. So this girl had a bit of a reputation for being a social climber and user, always going for the most convenient option. Well, with this rich guy in town and her boyfriend on another continent, she started seeing rich guy behind her boyfriend's back. Yep, she cheated. When her boyfriend found out, he obviously kicked her out of the house he built. Oh my God, wait. This man built a house and bought you land and you fucked some other guy who could probably get you bigger land and bigger house. What is, just call it off, babe. Although you would have to move. But, oh my God. People never cease to amaze me. Anyways, back to the email. When her boyfriend found out, he obviously kicked her out of the house he built and she moved into the rich guy's place, a massive beachfront compound with four luxurious houses. Oh my God. Okay. Yeah. See, like, why wouldn't you just do that and break up with the guy and, you know, have a little bit of fucking dignity left to your name? Jesus. I also want to say I love the way that this person wrote this email because it feels like a story, like continuing on with it. But life has a way of throwing curveballs like, ah, oh my God, bitch. Yes, literary major. Anyways, but life has a way of throwing curveballs. She soon found out she was pregnant. Parentheses, people think she baby trapped him. When she reached her second trimester, her dream baby daddy left her in the middle of the night with a note. He broke up with her with no explanation and just left her roughly $400 on the bed. He literally paid her to leave. So there she was, pregnant and alone, having to move out. The story goes, the rich guy's family didn't like her at all and didn't want him being with her. They even held his inheritance hostage, threatening to cut him off unless he dumped her. God, rich people are so fascinating. Like that sentence alone, they even held his inheritance hostage. Oh, that is rich. Like that sentence said, move out of my way, broke bitch. Oh my God. He obviously caved and his family also doubted that the child was his because she had a history of cheating and they considered her a gold digger. Let's be honest, she kind of was. Anyways, they broke up, but when she gave birth, they somehow got back together. The guy even proposed to her, but it wasn't with a diamond ring. He proposed with a string and a flower, which was kind of cute. Okay, I mean, sure, I guess, but cute doesn't keep its value. Even after all that, the rich guy's family still didn't believe the child was his, despite the fact that the kid was a spitting image of his father, so they demanded a paternity test. Long story short, they broke up again. I guess the pressure from the family and their toxic relationship just wasn't worth the billions in inheritance. But you know what? She still kind of wins because her child is probably going to be included in the rich guy's will. There's a lot more, but this has been long enough. All I know is she's a real mess and she should have stayed with the Aussie guy who built her a house. Poor guy. Amen. Ugh, justice for that Australian man. Listen, if you want to build me a house, I would not say no. God, building a house is so fucking expensive. The fact that he built you a house and let you stay in it while he wasn't even there. I mean, granted, you two were technically dating, but you were also cheating on him, you dirty Jezebel. You Jezebel. Now that I've learned the definition of the word Jezebel is over for fucking everyone. I really do have to say, though, you guys send the best emails. Don't forget to email unhingedwithchrisclemons@gmail.com with your craziest spring break story. But moving along, I am so excited for this next part because I have wanted to do this for so long. There are obviously lots of celebrities out there, which means that there are just so many celebrity brands and products. I mean, it's like April 2024 and Kylie Jenner has come out with like 6 new brands, like 100 new products. Keep up with the Kardashians? Fine. Keep up with the Kardashians products and brands? Cannot. It's just not possible. So I wanted to do this, but I didn't know how to do ranking celebrity products without getting all of them. Because, I mean, here's the thing. I'm not going to just buy everything from this list, mostly because some of these are hard to get. However, a huge trend on TikTok right now is Shark Tank. Like, a lot of people are making TikToks like, hi, sharks, I'm asking for $100 just so I can vibe. Or, like, things like that. Like, just Shark Tank as a show is really trending. Trend alert! And so I thought, instead of ranking celebrity products like based off of them, I would look at the celebrity products or brands through the eyes of a shark. And I'm not talking Jaws, bitch. I'm talking Mark motherfucking Cuban. I want to look at these brands as like through the lens of, do I think they make sense? Do I think it'll work? And would I invest in them? Like, in a past episode of Ranking Celebrity Nepo Babies, I said that like Hailey Bieber's road makes a lot of sense because she's always like asked about like her skin routine and her makeup and whatever. So like that to me makes sense. And also the products I love. So like that sort of inspired this twist on ranking celebrity products. I guess this is going to be more of like evaluating celebrity products, but that doesn't have as cute of a title. So for all intent and purpose, we're ranking. Now, first up, I have Hailey Bieber with Rode because that's kind of what sparked this variation of it. Like I said, I think it makes sense. She isn't someone who's just really diluting the celebrity brand genre with a ton of stuff. I feel like she really just sticks in her one lane. And I think Rode makes a lot of sense for her. It's very simple, approachable skincare. And it just that I feel like was a topic of conversation was, wow, she has such good skin. What's her skincare routine? Besides just like being a rich celebrity. So like Hailey Bieber's, yes, I think Rode makes sense. I would invest in it. I don't need to because it's doing very well, but like that makes sense. I think it works and I would invest in. Next up, we have The Honest Company by Jessica Alba. Now, I know that The Honest Company is like free of parabens and like all of the really terrible stuff. So, okay, Honest Company. We make clean, sustainable, well-designed products that work. Health and wellness are a universal foundation for a life well-lived, and I believe it is our responsibility to leave the world better than we found it. We care about all people and the planet. Jessica Alba, founder. Okay, like the way I could hear her narrating that as I was talking was insane. I think that she is someone who is like sort of Gwyneth Paltrow level, has like made it clear that like the way she likes to live her life, it's very like whole, not holistic, but it's, yeah, very like clean, very, I mean, just looking at her, or, oh my God, her Arc Digest tour. She's just very clean. She's very classic. Like this makes a lot of sense to me, having a company that is kind of centered around like banning certain chemicals and being sustainable. Like that feels very, you know what? I'm going to be honest, company. Jessica Alba gives me such granola crunch realness. And I mean that not in a bad way. She just like definitely gives not almond mom, but granola mom. And I think that's beautiful. And I think that's why The Honest Company makes so much sense. In regards to this, I am looking at it and it is seeming to be a little bit extensive, like baby clothing, which I understand like fabric and baby stuff should be clean and free from certain things. So I guess this all makes sense. Like there's baby and diapers, wipes, bath and body, skincare, makeup, baby clothing, cleaning, and a subscription kit. This, I guess, makes sense for all of the certain things. I don't know if it works or what. People seem to really fucking love it. And I think that this makes sense for Jessica Alba to do. I honestly think of her more of being like the Honest Company founder than I do of her being an actress. So like, I think that right there is very telling that this just makes sense. Like if she was like, I want to do lingerie, I'd be like, oh, that is confusing for sure. I'm sure it would be honest. But like, I think that this just really makes sense. As someone who like has the ability to create a brand, like I've just never been someone that's like very cash grabby, if that makes sense. Like I want things to make sense and to feel somewhat natural. And like, so I have a clothing brand. I'm interested in clothes. I want to do a fragrance and a home. Like I want to do things that genuinely excite me. And I feel like if you looked at and consumed, you would feel it's an extension of me. If that makes sense. And I feel like Honest Company is very much an extension of Jessica Alba. Next up, we have The Row by Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Now, Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen, God, I miss when they were like the It Girls, like up there with like Paris Hilton and them. That their street style and like their cigarette picture. Oh my God, like the blank staring. There's this one video that exists of them just like smizing, or I don't know. It's so chilling and haunting and still somehow like just an absolute work of art. I love the Olsen twins. And The Row, if you don't know, is their designer clothing brand. It really, I have to say, I am such a fucking stan of The Row. I don't own any of it because it is quite literally so fucking expensive. But my goal is to get a bag from The Row. Once I do that, I feel like I will have made it. Not really, but like, oh, their shit is so chic. Their shit is so like, I feel like really classic and timeless. And that makes sense considering that they have been rich since they were like toddlers. So like the idea of having a luxury clothing brand makes a lot of sense. And the fact that it all looks like shit that straight up comes out of their closet, I think also is really smart because they were really known for, I'm sure they are still now, but they were really known for their street style and like their beat up Birkin bags and just, they were like a staple in street style and style inspiration as a whole. And so I think at the beginning, The Row felt kind of insane. Like I remember when they came out with like a really intense clothing brand because they did like the whole like teeny bopper child star thing. So they like had, you know, like I'm sure like a nail polish collection with Claire's and, you know, but I think that at first it felt like that's an insane jump. But being here in 2024, that brand makes so much sense to me. Like I know that it's like, okay, they're just making basic clothes at a high price tag. But like one, I've looked at the clothes in person because I wanted to buy them and then saw the price tag. They just are really great materials. Really, the tailoring is gorgeous. And I just think that they are staples that you will have forever. And I really kind of get that vibe from the Olsen twins. If you look at some of their street styles, I mean, they have like busted down Birkins. Like they wear their shit and use it. At least that's what it seems. So this makes sense to kind of create a luxury brand of staples that should be with you for a while. I would invest mostly because I'd be so fucking rich right now if I had, but it also makes sense and I feel like it works for them. I think the brand has become so successful that people don't even, I think, know maybe that it's the Olsen Twins brand, which I think is major. Next up, we have Termana by Dwayne The Rock Johnson. And this one confuses me. This definitely feels like just a dude being a guy with a tequila brand, you know, very George Clooney, very the other guy who's a part of Casamigos. Is that what it's called? When I think of Dwayne The Rock Johnson, I definitely don't think of tequila. I would think of like muscles and like being fit. And I guess if I had to think of a third adjective, it would be bald, but that I don't know what. That was so out of pocket. But like, he's bald, right? Or he's got like a really short buzz. Anyways, I'm being a little too honest company with y'all. No, I don't understand Dwayne The Rock Johnson having a tequila brand. Let me see. Like, yeah, I've never, looking at him, I wouldn't even think he drinks. I mean, his arms are like the size of my waist. And that's not dainty, bitch. Like, you're telling me he drinks tequila and can still look like that? I just don't buy it. And I mean, I literally don't buy his tequila, but that's not because of him. Just I have other tequilas that I like. I don't really get the lore with Dwayne The Rock Johnson to begin with. But then you add on Taramana, if that's how if I'm even saying it fucking correctly. It just doesn't make sense to me. Like, some workout stuff would make more sense. Like, if he came out with like a fitness thing, I don't know what that thing is, but bitch, I'm not Dwayne The Rock Johnson. I don't have muscles. I've made that very abundantly clear. Just fucking spanked my muffin top 3 times. I mean, for God's sakes. Next up, we have House Labs by Lady Gaga. See, here's the thing. House Labs, if you think about Lady Gaga, yes, makes sense. She's a performer. She needs makeup. Sure. House Labs would make so much more sense if Lady Gaga kind of stayed the way she was way back when, because I feel like she wore so much makeup. And yes, Chromatica had like some crazy graphic makeup things going on, but I just don't think of Lady Gaga as like her makeup anymore, you know? Like, she seems very like stripped down and like Joanne. Chromatica, yes, was a little crazy and goofy, or not goofy, but like kind of Lady Gaga-esque, the way I think about Lady Gaga. And I just think House Labs would have made so much more sense during like the poker face, the telephone. Like, it doesn't, to me, make so much sense with current day Lady Gaga. Like, I feel like there's other people that it would, but at the same time, I guess it does still make sense because Lady Gaga, yeah, I don't know. This one is confusing. Like, I feel like it does and it doesn't work. It's a risk, shark, so, or baby shark. Baby shark, do-do-do-do-do-do, it's a risk, do-do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, I don't know. For a celebrity makeup brand, yeah, definitely her more than like, I don't know, like Selena Gomez, it makes sense. But I don't understand it as much anymore, as she, I feel like, has a very quote unquote normal makeup style now. I mean, compared to what she was doing back then. Because I feel like when she was more of like that club kid, she really would put on makeup. But that's just me. Yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know. It makes more sense than Taramana for Dwayne The Rock Johnson, but like, it doesn't make as much sense as like Honest Company or Rode. Next up, we have Skims by Kim Kardashian. And see, this makes sense. This makes total sense. Although I do think the journey has become a little convoluted, but I think Skims makes so much sense for Kim Kardashian, who has been someone that has been exclusively about their image since the start, like who's commercialized her insane body. Like, it makes a lot of sense that she's talking about shapewear and sucking it in and smoothing and all the little tips and tricks that she's had to do in Hollywood. Like, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's clearly doing very well. And I think that comes from a level of, like, even more than makeup, which I do think makes sense for the Kardashians, as they are just anything vanity, I feel like, really makes sense for them. And so, like, Skims, I think, more than makeup, makes so much sense. And being, like, a former, like, stylist and closet cleaner, like, it just, it really, I trust her with, like, if I needed it, like the weird different options I would need for shapewear. I don't know like how much she's really innovating with like her pajamas and stuff. I do think she's providing like great materials, and great like staples for comfort. Like, I've definitely bought a bunch of t-shirts from there. And oh my God. Okay. I will say her men's underwear. It's incredible. It's the best underwear I've ever bought. I bought the 5-inch. This isn't like a fucking ad, but I bought the 5-inch inseam boxer briefs. Guys, they are the Skims cotton, I think is what it was. Literally the most comfortable underwear I have ever worn in my life. Shook. Also, I think it would be kind of iconic if Kim came out with jock straps for Pride Month and like men's thongs, just saying. So I'm going to say Skims makes a lot of sense for Kim Kardashian. That, like, I would invest in that. Like, absolutely. If Kim was like, hi, Shark, Chris, I'm looking for $100,000 to start my dream company, I would totally give her like $150,000. Oh my God. And God, I fucking wish I did because I would be rich. All right. Next up, I have Ivy Park by Beyonce. And this one confuses the shit out of me. Because I think when it started, oh my God, it was getting sold in like Topshop. And it was a lot of like sports bras and leggings with Ivy Park around like the elastic, which like it made sense because she was like touring and like rehearsing and doing that whole gig. For some reason, Ivy Park never really made sense to me. Like she, yes, is very fashionable and creates trends and all of that. But she's not someone who I feel like is constantly stepping out and being photographed or whose style is like kind of an everyday thing to consume. I feel like there's rare glimpses. Like we see of Beyonce what she allows us to see. So like on tour, such a fashion icon. Behind the scenes, I think she's usually just chilling in sweats and a hoodie. So that's where like the Ivy Park of it all kind of makes sense. But I think there's a way to have made Ivy Park make so much more sense for Beyonce as a brand. Like when she started doing like the themed drops, that made a lot of sense. I think when it moved to Adidas and away from Topshop, that started making sense that she did like little collections. And like all of the products, I will say, gave, like I could so see Beyonce wearing that. However, they all just sort of felt like the same sort of thing. And there didn't feel like it ever was taken to like the next level. Like I know she had like Orville Peck in a campaign and like had some familiar people in campaigns. But it just, like with her new brand Sacred, a hair, that makes a lot of sense to me because I feel like Beyonce's hairography and her mom owning salons. So like in the same way that Skims coming out with shapewear makes so much sense. And I feel like she has a lot of experience in that. Hair is definitely something that feels more appropriate to Beyonce than a clothing, like an athleisure clothing line. Like I just never really understood what Ivy Park was. And like, I wish she did like a Renaissance drop where there were outfits inspired by tour look. Like I just wish there was more of a relatability or like interconnectedness to Beyonce besides it just being like Ivy Park, if that makes sense. And I also think she did like a horrible job promoting Ivy Park because there were some really solid things and like shit like would barely sell out. And I'm like, guys, what are we doing here? But I don't know. Blue Ivy makes a lot of sense for Beyonce. Ivy Park to me just, I thought there were definitely some great things. I was definitely a customer of Ivy Park when it was with Adidas, but like it was never anything that I was like, oh, this makes sense. I was like, oh, I like this article of clothing, you know? So I'm going to say that Ivy Park didn't really make sense for Beyonce. It did towards the beginning when it was like workout clothes, essentially, but I don't know. It just kind of felt like it became a little random. Next up, we have Keys Soul Care by Alicia Keys. Now, I know that Alicia Keys doesn't wear makeup. And I also know that Alicia Keys has a makeup brand. Okay, so Keys Soul Care's like whole outlook is as follows. I have always struggled with my skin since I was a kid starting out in the industry and being thrust into a world that was so new for me, so terrifying, it just continuously got worse. My skin only began to change when I started to look more inside of myself at the energy around me and taking care of every part of me. I love this idea of soul care, nourishing our skin and nurturing our soul at the same time, because I realize now that it's everything together that makes it work. That helps unlock the beauty that is already inside us. Love and light, Alicia. Okay, I'm not sure that like that feels like something I would read on goop.com. Like, I don't know if like looking inside of myself and at every aspect of energy around me would improve my skin, but I think it's interesting that she has like a makeup. It started out as a makeup line, I think. And then I guess it sort of kind of expanded. Her having a skincare line and like body care and skincare makes sense to me. The makeup part definitely confuses me, especially since I'm pretty sure that's how it was launched, this brand. But I'm looking at like the concealer and it looks like it takes makeup and skincare and sort of blends those together. Yeah, like what is the fucking thing called? Concealer? Foundation? Concealer. The concealer has 2% niacinamide and squalene blend. So like, it seems like it's a very minimal sort of makeup, but with skincare infused in it. And I guess that makes more sense, but I don't think Alicia Keys is like an icon music powerhouse. I don't feel like she necessarily needs a brand. And like, I don't mean any of this shadily, but like, I just don't think that everyone needs a brand. And I don't think Alicia Keys carries the punch of like selling product the way that she is a musician. I don't know if that's reductive, but I just genuinely don't see her as like a, and I don't mean this like this is everybody with a brand, but like a salesperson. Like, I just don't see her being that. I see her very much as just like a soulful artist. And that's the disconnect for me. But yeah, I probably wouldn't invest in this company. And it kind of makes sense to me. Like, it, I'm like, I could be convinced. Next up, we have Drew House by Justin Bieber. I have to say that this brand makes no sense to me. It's like Justin Bieber merch, but without Justin on it. And instead it says Drew. Knowing my luck, Drew is probably someone who meant a ton to Justin and is no longer with us, which that is not the point. Yeah, I mean, I'm looking through and there's just like a yellow smiley face with Drew. Like, I think if they kind of took the smiley off and made just more clothing or incorporated it into more fun ways, I do think that this would make a lot more sense. And I understand that Justin exclusively fucking wears this shit. Like, I understand. But that doesn't mean that I think it makes sense. Oh my God, there's ultra wide leg jean distressed vintage indigo. Wait, why am I about to buy a... Okay, why am I about to buy a pair of baggy blue jeans? Wait. I still don't think this makes sense and I wouldn't invest in it because it seems like a lot of just like embroidering shit onto pre-existing stuff that wasn't designed by you. And like for someone of like him who has a ton of money and resources, I would expect a little more. But it makes sense to me in the sense of like, yeah, he wears casual clothes, but like I wouldn't invest. I don't think it makes a ton of sense. And speaking of not making a ton of sense, next up we have Beau Domaine by Brad Pitt, which is his skincare line. Because when I think of Brad Pitt, I totally think of flawless skin. Like, what the fuck? When I think of Brad Pitt having a skincare brand, I'm like, the visual I have in my brain of Brad Pitt, I mean, his skin texture gives me the vibe of like a driveway that desperately needs resurfacing. Which, okay, I heard that. That came out really harsh. But, oh, I guess they photoshopped him up real nice in this picture. Yeah, I don't even need to look into this. No. Literally, no. It doesn't make sense. It does not make sense, guys. Let's be fucking for real. That would be like Ed Sheeran coming out with a skincare brand. Like, I don't trust it. I don't. I'm sure that it's the best skincare in France, or it's some fucking French anti-aging, antioxidants, radiance. Brad Pitt The one thing I've noticed about you is that you have aged, which is fine because we all do. You're going to really come out with an anti-aging, antioxidant radiance? I don't think I've ever applied any of those words to you except aging. Okay, I'm reading the fuck out of Brad Pitt. I'm so sorry, sir, but no. Ugh, no, would not invest. I'm not even like emotionally invested in it. Next up, we have Cravings by Chrissy Teigen. And this one makes so much sense. Like, it really does. I know that people might be like, you have a bias. Here's the thing. Chrissy Teigen constantly is cooking. She loves it. And honestly, she's made food for me. It is fucking good. She is really good at cooking. So the fact that she has like a cooking brand makes a lot of sense. And I own some of the cookware. It's really great. It makes a lot of sense. And she gives me the vibe of being someone who actually uses their own product, which I think is the ultimate sign that it's a good product. Like Kim uses Skims. Jessica Alba uses Honest. Hailey Bieber uses Rode. Okay. Like Justin Bieber doesn't really wear, like, yeah, he wears Drew House, but it doesn't still match. Chrissy Teigen having a cookware line makes so much sense, especially having multiple cookbooks, I think like 3 or 4. Ugh, and she's so knowledgeable in food, with food. I don't know. It makes a lot of sense to me. And I genuinely like Cravings. And I like where they're taking it. They have like boxed, like baked good mixes for things that are beyond just like the classic Betty Crocker Funfetti. Not that there's any shade towards Betty Crocker Funfetti or whatever that is. But oh my God. I don't know. I would invest. I think it makes sense. And I think it works. And honestly, I think it's slept on. I'm just going to say it. Next up, we have Sprinter by Kylie Jenner. This is a vodka soda, like a vodka seltzer drink. That's what it is. She just came out with this. And here's the thing. If Kylie came out with this like 5 years ago, I think that would have made so much more sense. Like, I understand that she's like young and still goes out and is an it girl. But like this being ahead of, like, now we just have so many seltzers. We have so many like seltzers, soda, vodka, like canned alcoholic beverages. I don't know what she's doing that's making it different. And when I think of Kylie Jenner, I don't think of like, ooh, party girl. Like, her having a vodka would make more sense to me than her having like a vodka seltzer. Like, does this make sense? Like, Kylie Cosmetics makes a lot of sense. Even Kai, her brand Kai, I think makes a lot of sense. She's always like on Instagram posting looks and at Fashion Week and stuff. Like, having a fashion brand makes a lot of sense. Do I think the leather trench collection could have been made a lot better? Absolutely. There were just like raw seams. So like, that's where on paper, I would think that Kai makes so much sense for her. Granted, the execution could have and should have just been better. But like Sprinter, I've heard it's great and it is really good, but it doesn't make sense to me. And I don't know if I would invest in it. I mean, it's Kylie Jenner, so I probably would because I would make at least some sort of profit, I feel. But maybe Forbes will tell me something otherwise. All right, next up, we have Rare Beauty by Selena Gomez. And I know I have gone on the record, Your Honor, and I have said that I'm not the biggest Selena Gomez fan. I am looking at all of these unbiased. I don't think of makeup when I think of Selena Gomez. I mean, I obviously do now because Rare Beauty's been around and has, you know, trended and popped off. Every day, I swear to God, I become closer and closer being a boomer. It's insane. But like when Rare Beauty came out, it didn't really make sense to me that she was coming out with a makeup line. What made sense with it was the fact that it was like very user-friendly in terms of like the twist-offs and the brushes. Like, I understand that like with her autoimmune disease, she has trouble gripping stuff. So like it makes sense that she created a makeup line with that in mind. Just, it was like the aspect of it being makeup didn't make sense. Like, I mean, if she tried to do anything like that, it wouldn't really make sense. But the fact that she was innovating something there, I think is actually really impressive. And I think she should have done something sort of like Honest Company, where she made a brand that helps people who have less like motor skills or have harder time gripping onto things or holding things. I think that that would have been a really solid kind of way to still have makeup, but have it be more focused towards something that makes more sense to Selena Gomez. I probably wouldn't have invested, nor did I would I have thought that it made sense or would work. However, I guess I wish I would have invested in it because it's doing great. Next up, we have Human Made by Pharrell. If you guys don't know, this is Pharrell's skincare line. And this is something that makes a lot of sense for Pharrell. Pharrell has like constantly, like, yes, great producer, great musician. One of the biggest things people always ask Pharrell is, what is your skincare routine? Because he, quote unquote, never ages. That became like a lock and key secret that he would never talk about. I'm pretty sure, unless I'm just totally fucking making all of this up, but I'm pretty sure this is the case. And then, because I remember when he announced Human Made, I was like, oh my God, that is so smart. Everyone is wondering what he does to maintain his face and shit. And so I bought Human Made because I was like, oh my God, if someone knows, it's Pharrell, you know? And I really actually liked it. I used all three of the products that first came out and I noticed that my skin looked phenomenal. I haven't bought it because I found other products that I like that are easier to get. If Human Made was like in stores in like a Sephora, I would probably still get like the rice powder cleanser, I think it was. Oh my God, that shit on my face. I genuinely think that makes sense. I would have invested in it. I don't know if it would have paid off because I don't know how successful it is, but him having like a skincare brand, see, that's Brad Pitt. That's a man who, it makes sense, has a skincare brand there. Next up, we have Pleasing by Harry Styles. And okay, Pleasing started off as nail polish, which did make a lot of sense. It did seem like a very interesting vertical to go into. But when Harry Styles launched Pleasing, it was sort of when his album came out. And it just, it like he was wearing nail polish. Like it made sense. He was very like comfortable with his sexuality. He clearly like just, it made sense that, but now I looked at it and it's turned into like fragrance, apparel, beauty. And I'm just, oh my God, I bought the Big Lip HA Moisture Balm because I always wanted to try lip plumping things. So I bought this. It was awful. Oh my God, it was awful. But I just don't think, like the Pearlescent Illuminating Serum, that doesn't, this just feels so far past what I would think for him. The nail polish makes a lot of sense. If he did like beaded necklaces, that would make a lot of sense. If he did, I don't know. It just, this, like this vertical him being in doesn't make sense to me. Fragrance, maybe, but again, is not someone that I'm thinking of like, I think Harry Styles knows fragrance, you know, like I nail polish. Yes. Really everything else. I'm just like, okay. Like, yeah, that's a cute t-shirt, but like, it like just doesn't make sense to me for Harry Styles. Like, I guess I could see Harry Styles wearing some of this because I have literally seen him wearing this. But like a lot of this, I'm just like, okay. I understand why every celebrity has a brand now. It's like when social media popped up and then celebrities started getting on social media. It's the same thing. It's not enough to just be a celebrity. Like the cost of things has gone up. And also there's so much money there that once you already have an audience, it's so easy to just put shit out. And so I don't know, because a lot of this I'm not like, oh, like if I didn't see Harry Styles wearing this Pleasing hoodie, I would have no desire to buy it. Like I, you know, so it just, it doesn't make sense to me. At the beginning it did, you know, and like I love Harry Styles, trust me. I just saw the video of me blowing him a kiss and him putting it in his back pocket. That was a whole podcast episode I cannot get into right now. But pleasing, I'm so sorry, is not very pleasing to me. I don't see the need for it. Nail polish, yes, but do we really need more nail polish? Like, I feel like if you are innovating it in some way, sure. That's what I think a lot of these celebrity brands need to be doing to be taken seriously or to grow is to innovate with it. And I just don't feel that here. So for those reasons, you're out. Next up, we have Florence by Mills, which is Millie Bobby Brown's brand. And it's like a beauty skincare fragrance. I think this is sort of the same concept of like people I've referred to previously in this little game. I don't think of Florence. Wait, what's her name? Millie Bobby Brown. I don't even know this bitch's name. I don't think of Millie Bobby Brown as being like a makeup god or like great skincare. Like, I know that she probably has great skin. She's like, what, 19? But like, I just don't think this brand makes sense to her. It feels like it was started to sell makeup and skincare to kids. Like, it feels very much like a Claire's competitor. I don't know why I get that sense, but it doesn't really make sense. Florence is made with love by Millie Bobby Brown, aka Mills. That's her, just mixing up all the formulas in her kitchen. Mills has sat in hundreds of makeup chairs. Everything she's learned along the way has shown her that beauty is really all about loving and expressing ourselves. So then why do we need your product? You know, that's why she named Florence after her great grandma, a woman who embraced herself and did things that made her happy all her life. Yeah, this just feels like a Claire's competitor. And I like, yes, I understand that she sat in a lot of makeup chairs. I still just don't know what she would be bringing to the table that isn't already known or been innovated upon. Like, none of this is, it's giving very like pink Victoria's Secret, but like rated G for all friends and family. So no, I probably wouldn't invest. It doesn't make sense. And I don't think it works. Like, and when I say it works, I mean like the it making sense, I guess. It's just me being redundant. Next up, we have Houseplant by Seth Rogen. And wait, I literally have a houseplant ashtray right here. I think Houseplant makes so much sense for Seth Rogen. For someone who has an affinity for marijuana and also pottery, this feels like a really great example. And I also think it's admirable that there's not always... excuse me, I was going to say being pushed down our throat, but that one just came right out. I don't feel like with a houseplant, Seth is like constantly pushing stuff. It feels very much of like, this is out, we're dropping this, but like, it's never like, we're doing this, and then this, and then this, and then this, and then this. Whereas like Skims, oh my God, I mean, I swear to God, every fucking week there is like some new drop, and I'm like, Kimberly, we gotta just take like a week off. Fuck, 5 days, not even a full week. I think Houseplant makes a lot of sense for Seth Rogen, and I like it. I really do. I think everything I've gotten from there, I've gotten quite a bit of things, is really well made, really gorgeous. And I do think he is innovating in this vertical because so much smokeware is so tacky and ugly and an eyesore in the home. And this is an idea I had before Houseplant came out, but like obviously never did anything with. But it was something I thought about a lot of like, I like smoking, but I don't want my whole personality to be smoking. And so what I think is great is that he, I guess, also had the fucking realization that it's like, I want an ashtray to be sitting out, but not look like I'm on Molly and just got this in the Miami airport, you know? I think it's really cool that he's sort of made smoking in the way that drinking has been so commercialized and like established in the home, where like people have bar carts and really pretty shakers and gorgeous drinkware and wine glass markers. I think he's really doing that with the marijuana space. And like, I love having my like ashtrays around my house from Houseplant. I think that it's like having a work of art sitting out. That's why I leave it out. I mean, that, and also I could spark up at literally any time, but also it's really pretty to have out. Last but not least, we have J-Lo Beauty by J-Lo. And listen, if J-Lo did like athleisure, much more sense. Would make so much more sense. I've seen J-Lo Beauty in Sephora when I've been looking for skincare, and I genuinely cannot understand who the customer, one, who the customer would even be, and two, who would walk into Sephora and feel compelled to buy. I don't trust a single thing in J-Lo's fucking products. Not saying that I know anything, or I just don't think J-Lo is my girl for skincare. I mean, does she have good skin? J-Lo unedited. This is like, feels really hard. Oh my God. Okay. They definitely messed with that in the opposite direction. But I mean, like, okay, I guess she's got good skincare, but like, actually, okay, this picture of her in sunlight, I hope isn't edited because, wow, they did her dirty. But I don't get this vibe from her. Again, if she did like athleisure, I feel like that makes sense because she's a dancer. Like, or just like stick to movies. Listen, Monster in Law is a fucking smash. Love that shit. J-Lo Beauty, no, we don't need. We don't. You're married to Ben Affleck. There's nothing that can convince me that you know beauty, but that's so mean to Ben Affleck. And honestly, though, I don't know why. I don't know. I don't think it makes sense, guys. And honestly, I don't know if this is bias based off of her new fucking like movie or documentary that's out. Oh my God. I should take some special treats and watch that, honestly. If there's any celebrity products or brands that I missed, please comment them down below if you're watching this on YouTube, because maybe I'll do a part two where I actually get the products and then we rank the specific products. But I tried to get a variety of different celebrities with brands that maybe like Miraval or that Miravel, the wine that Angelina Jolie and them that we've done, I tried to avoid. But yeah, let me know if we enjoyed this. If we didn't, I don't know. But for those reasons, sharks, I'm out. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode. I love you guys so much. Be sure to rate and review this episode. And also be sure to get tickets to see me in New York on April 21st. I'm so, 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 so excited. And yeah, be sure to subscribe. I love y'all. I'll see you next week. Ciao.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.